Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 5th of August, the 218th day of 2024. We're in the second half of summer, and we have 148 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. According to the monthly precipitation totals and departures from a normal July, recently published by the Northeast River Forecast Center, an affiliate of NOAA's National Weather Service, Penobscot, Hancock, Waldo, and Washington counties have not had rainfall this past month that is wildly different from normal. In Penobscot County, for example, we've had about 4.5 inches of precipitation, only about 3/4 of an inch above normal. Hancock County and Washington County each had 5 inches, which was about 1.75 inches above normal. And Waldo County had 4.75 inches, somewhat less than 1.5 inches above normal. In other words, we are meant to have this much rain in July. How else would the rain, forest, all around us remain in a healthy condition? What has thrown a lot of folks off the past several years has been the frequent drought conditions. But Maine's forest rangers are relatively content currently, as opposed to those stretches of weeks with no rain, when they become increasingly nervous about the burgeoning possibilities of forest fires. Now we're in August, a month the Romans initially called Sextilis, or sixth month, when their year began in March. Much later, when Emperor Augustus Caesar came to power, he wanted this month named after himself, and the Roman Senate obliged him. Our Old English August is derived from the Latin Augustus. Peter Cole, in his poem August, begins with an epigraph that alludes to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 7, verse 49. Before the oracle, with the flowers, and by his eighth stanza approximates an airy sense of this month. Bougainvillea lifts the sinking spirit back up and nearly into a buoyancy, its paper pink bracts proving with their tease of a rustle and glow through the window, there is a breeze. Heavenward, August's new moon occurred yesterday morning near dawn, so that not long after sunset tonight and tomorrow night, we'll have a thin, waxing crescent moon that will hang close to the planet Venus in the western sky. Today in 1100 in Westminster Abbey, Henry I was crowned King of England. Today in 1305, Scottish resistance leader William Wallace was captured near Glasgow and transported to London for trial and execution. Today in 1861, President Lincoln signed the first U.S. personal income tax into law at a rate of 3% for incomes over $800. Today in 1864, during the Battle of Mobile Bay, Union Army Rear Admiral David Farragut purportedly uttered the cry, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." Today in 1884, on New York City's Bedloe Island, the cornerstone was laid for the Statue of Liberty. Today in 1891, American Express issued its first traveler's checks. Today in 1914 in Cleveland, Ohio, the first electric traffic light was installed, featuring red and green lights. Today in 1924, Harold Gray's Little Orphan Annie comic strip was first published in the New York Daily News. Today in 1926, in his last public stunt, American magician Harry Houdini stayed in an underwater airtight coffin for almost 90 minutes, besting by at least a half hour rival magician Rahman Bey's previous time. Today in 1936, American Jesse Owens won the 200-meter, his third gold medal at the Berlin Olympics, and Americans Ken Carpenter and Gordon Dunn won gold and silver, respectively, in the discus throw. Today in 1957, Dick Clark's TV show American Bandstand premiered nationally on ABC, and the comic strip Andy Capp made its debut. Today in 1963 in Moscow, the United States, the Soviet Union, and the United Kingdom signed the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, and Craig Breedlove set a world land speed record of 407 miles per hour in Spirit of America at the Bonneville Salt Flats, Utah. Today in 1964, U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, appearing before Congress, presented the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which would serve as the principal constitutional authorization for the escalation of U.S. military involvement in the Vietnam War. Today in 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan fired more than 11,000 air traffic controllers who were on strike. And today in 1984, at the Los Angeles Olympic Games, American and Mainer Joan Benoit won the gold medal in the first Olympic marathon for women, and American hurdler Edwin Moses won the gold medal for the 400-meter hurdles, his 105th consecutive race victory. Today in 1930, near Wapakoneta, Ohio, Neil Alden Armstrong was born and raised on his family's farm. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us Neil took his first airplane flight at age 6 and thereafter dreamed of becoming a pilot. By the time he was 14, he was taking flight lessons for $9 an hour, financed by his working for a local pharmacy. 2 years later, before obtaining his driver's license, Neil had earned his pilot certificate, though he didn't immediately become a professional pilot. Instead, he worked in a bakery while finishing high school and playing horn in a jazz band called the Mississippi Moonshiners. A fair student, Neil so surprised his mother when he won a U.S. Navy scholarship to attend Purdue University that she dropped a quart of preserves on her right big toe, breaking it and the jar. After college, Neil became a Navy pilot, flying 78 missions in Panther jets off the aircraft carrier Essex during the Korean War, and was once shot down behind enemy lines, though a quick rescue spared him from a communist prison camp. 3 air medals came from his Korean service, along with developing skills that led to his work as a test pilot and then an astronaut. As the first man to step onto the moon, he announced, "This is one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." But the spacesuit radio mangled the A, puzzling millions of television viewers, including the Japanese, in whose language the word for man and mankind is the same. Many, however, chose to delight in the possibilities of Neil Armstrong intending a Zen quality to his remark. During his subsequent Goodwill tour on Earth, Neil visited Scotland, where his family had originated. There he learned delightedly that his 16th-century Armstrong clan were noted thieves, and that his ancestor Johnny Armstrong was a bandit who had been the terror of the Highlands before being hanged. Today is also the birthday in 1604 of Bible translator and English Puritan missionary known as the Apostle to the Indians, John Eliot. In 1641 of American magistrate and judge during the Salem witch trials, John Hawthorne. In 1850 of French writer Guy de Maupassant. In 1862 of the Englishman popularized as the Elephant Man, Joseph Merrick. In 1864 of the Basque priest and composer Resurrection Maria de Azcue. In 1866 of the German chemist who developed synthetic rubber, Carl Dietrich Harries. In 1876 of the American historian Mary Ritter Beard. In 1889 of American Pulitzer poet Conrad Aiken. In 1902 of American abstract artist Irene Rice Pereira. In 1909 of American jazz vocalist and trumpeter Tiny Davis. In 1911 of American actor Robert Taylor. In 1914 of American model and actress Anita Colby. And of American actor Parley Bayer. In 1920 of Canadian-American comedy writer and actress Selma Diamond. In 1923 of American lawyer Richard Kleindienst. In 1930 of American actress Joan Weldon. In 1945 of American actress Lonnie Anderson. In 1947 of a Canadian guitarist, Greg Liske, of American guitarist and songwriter, Rick Derringer, and of American bass player, Willie Weeks. In 1950 of German Olympic alpine skier Rosie Mittermeier. In 1956 of American actress Maureen McCormick. In 1959 of English singer Pete Burns. In 1961 of American rock guitarist Pat Smear. In 1962 of American basketball forward Otis Thorpe. And of Jamaican American basketball center and Olympian Patrick Ewing. In 1964 of American rap rock vocalist Adam Yauch. And in 1965 of American musician Jeff Coffin. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the seventh full week of summer and the 32nd week of 2024.